You're listening to the Ranch Church podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.
Would you help me welcome Pastor Rick Soto?
Hey, I'm really glad to see you guys this morning. Open your Bibles or go on your digital device to Matthew chapter 6. And in light of circumstance, let me make a few introductory comments and kind of sit here for a few moments. Let me get my bearings. In terms of church, if you're some churches across America in large cities in particular are what they call mega churches. There are actually some churches that have two or three times the population of the entire San Ynez Valley. And so there's been some moratorium on meeting spaces and numbers. And so for a number of those churches, their only option was online. The school gave us the option of meeting today, but closing all the kids' classrooms and asking that we not really use the rest of the facility. And so we sort of thought as we prayed about this, we said, well, if they're going to give us a box to meet in and praise the Lord in, and if we could do that responsibly, then let's do it. And so we're here today, and I'm glad that you're here. So stay with us online. I probably was about to shoot two or three different videos and making like public service announcements or informing our church and our community about things, and things were changing so fast, or there's no way. Last night, Jesse Hovey and I went out to location and filmed just an encouraging word that we might just post tonight on Facebook for like two or three minutes, just again to have some positivity out there. But just stay with us. We believe we have the green light to meet here next week, and so that's our plan. But if that changes in the next 48 hours, we will certainly let you know. If you want to follow us, and I encourage you to follow us on our app to download that, the Ranch Church app is easier than it's ever been. And if you want to get on our email list or something like that, you can certainly let the porch know, which is in the corner of the room there. So let's talk about today for a few moments. And so listen, today is a National Day of Prayer. Our president has called for a National Day of Prayer, and that is a great thing. And I think on my side of the street, at least, it's partly what drove the desire to try and meet today. If our president, as presidents in other times in our country, have actually asked for people to gather and pray, well, then I felt like, well, if God's going to give us the freedom to do that and the ability to do that, then we can do that. And we will pray in just a moment. Listen, during this time, and I'll say it again during the message, be smart with your health. And that's my message on Facebook. So whatever that means to you, you should know. Listen to your medical professionals. Be wise. We're sort of a little loose with anyway. We're going to work in schools when we're a little sick and all of that. But in this time, it's a little more sensitive, a little more significant. Take the coronavirus serious. It's not a hoax. I know some people think it's a hoax. It's not a hoax. It is actually a real virus out there. The whole coronavirus family is a legitimate biological problem. There's all kinds of different coronaviruses. That's why there's number 19 after that. If you're immune deficient or medically compromised, it could be more significant than if you're not. But even if you do get it, you're going to be kind of hating life for 4 to 6 weeks or something like that, and it has some other bizarre components. And so just take it serious. Listen to your medical professionals. Be in tune with your health. Lots of vitamin C. Buy out doTERRA, I suppose, if you're into essential oils, and all that. Whatever it takes for you to be healthy, be healthy. But here's spiritually what we need to understand about this time. We need to pray that God would actually bring a spiritual revival to our country as once again. And I know that, like a lot of you, and one of the things I love about living in San Ynez Valley is a lot of cowboys, cowgirls, a lot of people in ag work and in the venting industry. And so you guys understand the basics of biology. And many people are more than competent in our community. That sometimes can lead to a sort of false trust in oneself and an idea that you could do enough push-up sit-ups, or you could actually be vegan enough, or whatever your dietary habit is, or you can take enough oils to think that life depends on you. It doesn't. Life depends on God and Jesus Christ. And so our trust is in Him. Our trust is in Him. Our trust is in Him. And I don't know what's going to happen to me when I leave this room, but my trust is in Him. I don't know what's going to happen to you when we leave this room, but our trust is in Him. And you can trust God. And so we're going to pray during these moments where God is really humbling us, that we we turn to him, and that people actually experience the nature of being born again in terms of their soul, and that the love of God actually comes inside them as never before, and that they experience a great and great and powerful renewal. One story, and then we'll pray and get into the text. You know, many of you know the film. It's called The Dunkirk Miracle. And the Dunkirk Miracle is that the Allied forces were pinned down in Europe. There's 300,000 of them, if you think about this. And they were about to be completely assassinated. And that many of troops with, if you've ever played the board game Risk, you know it's kind of a numbers game in terms of a battle. And so if you go 1-to-1, that's not good. You really want to be 10-to-1 or 100-to-1 with all the superior technology. So this was the Allied forces being severely outnumbered and outgunned. It was going to be a complete total slaughter, pinned against the beach. And I don't know who was praying. Maybe it's just in the nature of God's sovereignty. But out of nowhere, right, out of nowhere, an incomplete cold front comes over the area, and the Nazis are unable to see what's going on. And then out of just the absolute sacrifice of one blessed human being to another comes all of these boats that one at a time take all of those troops and take 300,000 of them away all at one time to live for another day. It's called the Dunkirk Miracle. There's nothing that could be ingenued, and no man-centered ingenuity, could bring that about. And so that's the kind of miracle we're asking for in this time. And it's going to come through prayer, and it's going to come through faith. So join me as we join with many Christians across the world and today in our country with the National Day of Prayer, a special desire from the president that we pray. Join with me now, just quietly in your hearts, and we pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you at this moment. We pray for our nation and for our state and for our local community. And we pray that you would keep everyone safe. We pray, God, that there would be salvation in our own hearts and to our neighbors, our family, and friends. We pray right now, God, that you would take our minds from these earthly concerns and help us to understand heaven and the reality of it. I pray, God, that we would be a people in this room right now who would live not for ourselves, but for you. And so, Father, do what you can do. Make us all truly born again. Bring salvation and bring your miracle-working power and bring your love and bring your protection. God, we turn to you this day as never before, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. In the Bible, Jesus here is talking. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. I'm going to read it together. In one shot as we're turning in your Bibles together. Jesus teaching here famously in the middle of what's called the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." Are you anxious about your life? Jesus says, don't be anxious about life. "About what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first," what's it say out there in your Bible? Say it out loud. That's right. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Now the last line there, "Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Amen, amen. So listen, friends, here's what I want you to know. A simple phrase. If you've been to our church before, then you know this. If you're new to us, then just write this down or tap it in your digital device. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. I took a picture of my brother who was here last week. He had this shirt on. I'm going to show it to you right here. Let me bring up my, there you go. That's what you got. Although that's a southern version of it. Y'all need Jesus. Right? Y'all need Jesus, right? But I like that. I like that. I like that. That's Darren. I know he's in the house, but I can't find him right now. So y'all need Jesus, right? And so you need Jesus. And so it's a simple phrase that I want to ask you. Do you have him? Or do you have an imagination about him? Or do you have an idea or a philosophy? Jesus is not an idea. He's not a philosophy. He's actually God. And he loves you, and he came for you. And so there's a personal nature of this. To have Jesus in your life, there has to be in your heart and your mind an invitation that you answer the door when he's knocking, and you bring Jesus into your life, and he's the center of your life. You need Jesus. And going on now, I'm going to show you a couple other pictures, explain sort of the nature of what Jesus is teaching here. Because Jesus here says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious. And then there's going to be a series of illustrations. He's going to talk about, you know, your daily sustenance of food and of drink and of life and of clothing and of anxiety and all of that. I'm going to show you my favorite dog. Show me a dog right there. Okay, look at this one. All right, that's Lily, huh? I'm not a great dog. She's actually a puppy in that picture. She's 8 now. And we actually, she was... She's still close with her siblings, so what's fascinating about Dog World is on their birthday, all the dogs still send their siblings pictures. You know, it's kind of classic. And so that's her when she's quite a bit younger. So it's funny about the daily habit with Lily, my wonderful lab dog, right? And so I'm up usually pretty early, and I'm in the Word, and I'm praying, and I'm on my way to my early morning workout. And so what's fascinating is that somewhere in there, Lily wakes up, and then actually she's a great dog, and she'll just kind of be at my feet, but she's looking at me. And she wants to know, you know, is Master going to feed me? I'm okay, I'll go feed you. Then I let her out, and then she goes outside, and she does her thing. And then what's fascinating is when she comes back to the door. That's what's great, when she comes back to the door. So Lily will come back to the door, and then I know that in Vandenberg there are rockets that lift off really fast. I know that there's rockets. I mean, they just go. I've seen a few of these, and they just go. But I don't know if any one of them can outrun my dog when I open that door. Because I open that door, and I've never seen physicality like this. My dog will just go right by me because she knows where her dog bowl is. She hasn't asked me about it. She hasn't inquired about it. She just knows where her dog bowl is. And she knows that I have put food in the bowl. And she knows that I've refreshed her water. She knows it. She doesn't even look at me. Trust me, she doesn't even look at me. I'm going to open the door, and she's going to go there. She's going to run so fast that as she goes to the house, we have hardwood floors. It's a slight kind of dog bend to the right, almost slight 90-degree angle. And then the only way she's going to stop because she's going so fast is she's going to spray herself out like this. And then she's going to slide, she's going to get her nose perfectly over the bowl and go, oh, I made it, great. And then she's going to eat. She doesn't worry about whether her master is going to feed her. She has no concern. She has no anxiety when she comes to the door, am I going to take care of her? She just wags that tail. Oh, master's here, that's so great, that's so great. And she just knows that I am going to open the door. She's not even going to be worried about, am I going to open the door? She just knows I am going to open the door because I love her and I'm taking care of her. And then she's going to go do her thing, and she's going to be completely provided for, and then she's going to lay at my feet and be chill, right? And so that is an illustration exactly what Jesus is talking about here. As he mentions these very important components of life, the things that cause us anxiety, the things that cause us stress, God is saying, I am your master. I love you. I'll take care of you. I'll always open the door of provision for your life. I'll always open the door so that you can be helped in this life. I'll always open the door to my heart so that you can enter my life. I'll always be blessing you with my kingdom in this life. Next picture, this is just one that I really love. Actually, this is one of my favorite ones that trended for a couple of years ago on the internet. This is about Jesus kind of reaching down. So watch this. So I hope that we kind of worked with this to see if you can see this good enough. This is from Walking on Water. That's Jesus walking on water. Can you see that? Jesus is walking on water. But what's he doing? Right? Can you see it? He's reaching. What are, so in this picture, by the dimensions, you are doing what? Yeah, you're sinking. You're not just sinking, you're sunk. Right? You're down there. You're down there. Jesus is walking on water. And so he's now going to pierce the water. He's going to pierce the elements of whatever you've fallen, however you've fallen. And he's going to actually now, grab you and pull you up. I love that. I love that. And so Jesus here, that's okay. We love him. And so listen, Jesus is here taking care of you. He is reaching down, right? He's reaching down. Great illustration. Little kid there falls in the back of church. Mama picks him up and takes him away in her arms, right? It's a perfect illustration. It's beautiful. That's what Jesus is doing here, walking on water. You know, sometimes I look around at my life and I think, wow, God, life is kind of hard and I've been praying really hard. Where are you? I mean, I've been praying. God, where are you? And you know what the Lord says? You should see what would be happening if you weren't praying and if I wasn't working. It's a great picture, Jesus walking on water. You've sunk down, and he's picking you up, and he's bringing you back home. And so one of the hard things that you have to kind of work through in the environment we're at with this coronavirus is that people are freaking out all around you. Do you know that? People are freaking out all around. So we're reading these verses here about God's great promises. And, here Jesus continued to teach, but if God so clothes the grass of the field and today is alive and tomorrow thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you? The answer is yes. And then he says, you have little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious. Okay? Now, listen, here's what's fascinating. When you're around people experiencing lots of anxiety, you can kind of begin to experience some of their anxiety. And so there's got to be a place where you exercise some faith and say, listen, friend, I understand that you're stressed out about all these things. We're going to trust God together. That's why I love a spiritual exercise that has become so popular in our church. We get little 3x5 cards out, or post-its, and we write down on these little post-its, I will trust God, and we post them up there. And sometimes it'll be, I'll trust God with my finances. I'll trust God with my health. I'll trust God with these things. I was actually given this morning a photo of how this has kind of trended to another place. And so it was to a student. And the student wrote, I will trust God with my ADHD. You know, so they're hyper deficit disorder or whatever. They go, I'm going to trust God with that. And I thought it was so cute. And it had a couple other little initials of things that they had, like maybe a mental health challenge or some focus challenge. They go, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God to be focused this day. I'm going to trust God to be involved in this day. And I'm not going to let all the other things going on in my body distract me from the very mission and core nature of God. I'll trust God. So that's a spiritual exercise, and it's a good one. And so we do that from time to time, but what you need to understand is that people are freaking out all around you, and you need to be the person of peace. Write that down. You need to be the person of peace. You need to be the person that speaks life into a situation. You need to be a person that speaks truth into that situation. And you need to be a person that brings that compassion and mercy into whatever circumstance you find yourself in. And listen, it's okay to laugh. You know, so the other day I was at a restaurant having lunch with a good friend, and so this was right next to Rite Aid, we got there at 1 o'clock at the restaurant at Leo's, and we wanted to hang out for a good while. We get together once a month, and so we're gonna be there for quite a long time, really reconnecting. And so it was fascinating because where we were sitting was in the corner by the window, looking out on the parking lot. And so here comes this lady, and she's really, really petite and an older gal. And she, well, I don't know how a human being could ever go through that much toilet paper. I'm on Twitter. I thought that was a joke. I thought that was really, you know, I thought that was a joke. It's not a joke. This little old lady had more toilet paper than I think the whole valley could ever use in a week. You know, she just had, but then it kept falling all over, and we were trying to decide, are we going to go out and help her? Okay, we'll go help her. And then she had like a case. And look at it, I don't drink, but I do know good labels from bad labels. She had a case of the worst bad wine ever. It was like cheap wine, like bad wine. So she had toilet paper and bad wine. And I don't know what that means, you know, other than, okay, hey, listen, lady, can we help you put this in the car? Oh, I don't want you touching it. Okay, I'm going to go back and have my nice lunch. So I don't get the toilet paper. And the weird thing is, I wish that was an isolated story. We watched several of those come by. And I watch whole cars and trucks come by and literally dump Rite Aid's all of their toilet, toilet paper into these people's vehicles. People are freaking out. Be a person of peace. Be a person of peace. You know, you're not going to change someone's behavior necessarily, but you can speak life. And you can bring life. And you can bring goodness. Sometimes you can bring a little levity. Sometimes you bring an invitation to truth. But bring life. Don't get sucked into all of the drama that's going on. Let me give you two things that I want you to write down. You can put this as a spiritual exercise this week if you want to, again, practice one of those post-its or that kind of thing. But I want you to realize that God cares and God is able. Those are not the same. God cares and God is able. See, God cares. So it's possible that some human being could care for another person but not be able to do anything. And sometimes that is our place where we find themselves. You know, sometimes myself and others in our church always love it when I get called to the hospital and I find out that the church has 100 pastors. You know, and then they don't let me in because they think I'm lying. You know, that's happened before. You know, I go up and they go, "You're not the pastor. How many? You can't. You know, there's no way. You go away. These other people are in there praying." You know, and so that, I love that. I love that. But we pray in part because we don't have all the ability, and so we're asking God to bring the supernatural ability into a circumstance. But God has no shortness. So God cares and God is able. God is able and God cares. That's not always true of you and I. We can care and not have ability. And sometimes we can have ability and not care. God has both. He cares and he has ability. And he cares about you, and he's able to do all the things of which he is intending to do. Something that will be helpful to share in, share these verses, read these verses with your friends, but also remember to have little phrases that will be helpful. I've learned this through time. My wife has actually taught me this, and she's great at it. Memorize little verses and phrases. So, for example, as a phrase, I've spent a week telling people this, we'll get through this. You know, so write that down and have that at hand. So someone's crying, someone's freaking out. What are we going to do? The president said this. The president didn't say this. The federal government this. The federal government that. Listen, let me tell you about governments. They're doing the best they can. All right, so they're just doing the best they can. And maybe in certain situations there could have been something better done or not. They're actually doing the best they can with the information they can, and it's not easy. It's not easy to lead in a crisis. It's not easy to know exactly what are all the right things to do in a crisis. And so for you and I to be people of peace and say, listen, we'll get through this. Okay, great, we'll get through this. Let's go back over to that doctor. Let's take you home. Let's make sure I go shopping for you, whatever it is. But just know that we will get through this. We'll get through this. We'll get through this as a church. And we'll get through this as a community. And we'll get through this as a family. And we'll get through this as friends. And so be communicators of that message, and let's act and have faith that we are indeed trusting and trusting God. I want us to turn, and God wants us to turn our panic into prayer and our worry into worship. So many people are panicking. We want to turn our panic into prayer. So it's not just enough. It's not just enough to say, don't worry. That's not going to work necessarily to all the spirituality of that. You need to take your panic and turn it into prayer. And your worry and anxiety, try and tell somebody, stop worrying. Or try and tell yourself, stop worrying. You'll sit there and go, okay, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm worried. It doesn't work that way. The supernatural nature of the gospel is transformational. And it's somewhat transactional by the grace of God. And so I won't worry. And so I will, as we had today, I will sing a hallelujah, right? And I'll make all that unbelief go away. I'll raise a hallelujah, right? So that's the supernatural nature of the kingdom, and it's a gift. And so we'll turn our panic into prayer, and we'll turn our worry into worship. Choose not just this day, but in these circumstances in particular, to be practical. I know I'm being a little redundant, but I want us to get that message. Be practical. Practical things of self-care and spiritual ministry are what are needed today. Choose to be helpful. whatever that looks like, whatever that feels like, choose to be helpful. Be a helpful person today. I'm not probably the only family in trying to figure out how to raise kids, and I didn't grow up in a Christian home, so just trying to figure these things out. And sometimes I had a phrase just to tell the boys, just be helpful. I don't know what to do here. I'm doing the best I can to raise you. But how about we just choose to be helpful today, right? So sometimes that works in adulthood. You know, choose to be helpful. Choose to be practical. Choose to be helpful. Choose to be faithful. And that's why I'm so glad that we're gathering in this day. And I think it's completely permissible for us to gather this day. We've made some amendments. We're not doing communion. We're not having a coffee service and other things out in the foyer. But we're choosing to be faithful nonetheless today. I'm going to explain two chapters, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to invite Lindsay up. In fact, Lindsay, you can make your way up. In Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9, Jesus does a few things in light of his teaching. In light of his teaching, Jesus is going to do a few things. In chapter 8 of Matthew's gospel, there's a leper who needs to be cleansed. You know what Jesus does? He cleanses him. He heals him. There's a centurion who needs faith and a servant who needs help, and Jesus honors that faith and brings the help. Jesus heals so many people in chapter 8 that a lot of Bibles have a subheading over a paragraph that says, Jesus heals many, because there's no way to explain it all. And then Jesus is going to call people to follow him, and you know what? There's a cost to that. Don't let anybody ever tell you that following Jesus does not come with a cost. It comes with a cost. What is that cost? Well, we don't know. It'll be filled in by the nature of your life, but God is worthy of you paying whatever price it is to follow him. He's worthy of that. Other people are not always worthy of you following them. God is always worthy of you following him. And then Jesus in chapter 8, going on the chapter, there's a storm. There's a real storm. And Jesus is going to speak to the storm and calm it down. And then Jesus is going to meet some demons and he's going to make them go away. And then in chapter 9, there's a paralytic and he's going to heal the paralytic. And then he's going to call Matthew to himself. And then he's going to explain the nature of being fasting. And then he's going to heal a woman. Then he's going to heal a blind man. Do you get it? Jesus is on the move. He's on the move now. He's on the move here. He's on the move in your heart. He's on the move in our community. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. Amen? Pray with me. Pray with me. Jesus, do great things as we turn to you now, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Savior and our God.
Stand together and sing out, "Great is His faithfulness." Great.
Thanks for listening to the Ranch Church Podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.